This is Rabbi Eitan Toker from Brooklyn, New York. There is an ancient practice that the first Chumash that a child learns is Sefer Vayikra, which is all about Karbanos. And the question is why we have such a practice. Today, many yeshivas, they start teaching their children Parshas Lach Lecha or Noach or whatever it is. But there is an established practice of starting with Sefer Vayikra. And there are even places today that they continue with this practice. Seems that a little odd because Sefer Vayikra is like the most abstruse, the most complex, especially Bizmanenu, you know, maybe the least practical in terms of the mitzvos. At first glance, it's a rather odd place to start a child's limud. Nevertheless, the Yalkut Shimoni points out that there's a hint in Parshas Vayikra, the opening pasuk, to this practice, says the Yalkut Shimoni, Maha Karbonos Tahorim, Af HaTinokos Ken. Just like Karbonos are pure, Pasuk says that you're supposed to have young, whole, pure, unadulterated Karbonos, Kivatsim B'nei Shana. So here we have a little bit of a hint to the fact that our little Kivatsim, our little lambs, are to be whole and pure, just like the Karbanos in the Parsha. And in fact, Parshas Vayikra, opening Pasuk of Sefer Vayikra, says Vayikra, and famously, if we noticed when we were last looking at the Parsha, we remember reminding ourselves that the word Vayikra has a little Aleph. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, Ba'urzeha Aleph Kitana. The little Aleph there is a remez, it's a hint. Shahakitanim, the little Alephs, the little children, Yaschilu Kan. This is where you should start. Limud Zehu Barosh Ke Aleph Rosh Losios. So the first Limud, the Aleph of the Limud, is for our little small Alephs, our little small children, should be right here, says Sefer Vayikra. So there is an important message here that is relevant and applicable to young children. We hope to instill into our young children. Not simply that our young children are still pure and uncontaminated, but that we want to instill that pure and uncontaminated emunah Hashem that will do them well in later life. In other words, emunah pshuta. So instead of being something which is least connected or least applicable, perhaps it is most applicable, since the notion of karbanos, the purity, the wholeness, the tmimus, the tamim, this is what our emunah is supposed to be. It seems to me that we live in a particular moment of world history in which emunah pshuta is needed more than ever. The human mind is greatly capable of constructing for itself all types of ways of thinking that enable the human to do the most extraordinary and the most vile, vile things. The human mind can create all types of arguments and intellectual structures that allow the person, justify the person to do anything they want. LaMashal, if you go back to Nazi Germany, it was the most logical, the most sound, thoughtful, considered legitimate thing to do is to round up Jews and kill them. There's nothing wrong with it. So if you live in a certain context, in a certain society, in a certain framework, the human mind is capable of justifying to itself almost anything. So it seems to me that emunah pshuta is, while you know a person should certainly build on their emunah to have a deep and profound emunah, but underlying deep and profound emunah is emunah pshuta, simple, plain emunah Hashem, the se tamim, the keves ben shana, the little aleph, and it's something that we lose sometimes from the time that we are children to the time that we get to become adults. And perhaps this is an important message to remind us that we start our children off this way because we want to implant this in them, and hopefully that it will continue to animate and vitalize the way we encounter the Ribbono Shel Olam, Emunah Pshuta. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two, interestingly enough, Medrash says that Adam Ki Akrev Mikem, also you know, opening Psukim of the Parsha, that when a person gives a karban, Pasuk says Adam Ki Akrev, a person gives a karban. Now, Medrash says this language of Adam is not necessary. You could say Ish Ki Akriv, could just say Ki Akriv, and it'll be an implied understanding that it's a person who's giving the karban. What is the meaning of this word Adam, ki akriv? So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Ma Adam HaRishon lo hikriv min hagezel, just like Adam HaRishon didn't bring his carbon from stolen property, Shakol HaYashalo, everything belonged to him, Afatem lo takriv min hagezel, you too should not bring carbonos from stolen property. And as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Sona Gezel Be'ola. So this is a very strange comparison here. Just like Adam HaRishon didn't steal to bring his carbon, you shouldn't steal to bring your carbon. But this is comparing apples to oranges. The Medrash says, you know why Adam didn't steal? Because Kakol HaYashalo, the entire universe belonged to him. There was no other human being. It all belonged to Adam. So how can you compare that? A person who it was literally physically incapable of stealing. Who is he going to steal from? The whole thing belongs to him. Versus us, versus living in a society where there sometimes is a Yetzirah to do the wrong thing. So how can the Medrash make this comparison? Just like Adam HaRishon didn't steal, the whole world belonged to him, so he couldn't steal, so you also shouldn't steal. What does it mean? I believe the Medrash is telling us that it is true that in terms of the experience of the physical reality of life, it was incapable for Adam to steal because he was the only person around. That's precisely what the Medrash is saying about how we should look at the action of taking something that doesn't belong to us, meaning that when we have an impulse or potentially have an impulse to do something which is wrong, just like Adam HaRishon looked around and it was physically impossible for him to do so, that's how we should look at life. It's just lo ola adas, it's impossible for me to steal. It would be like, would a person take a knife and cut off their finger? No sane human being would do that. In other words, that what the Medrash is saying is just as Adam HaRishon lived a reality in which stealing was impossible, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him everything he needed, he had. Similarly, we should conduct our Avodas Hashem in a way that we perceive life the same way. Everything we have, we need, and it is just impossible the way I perceive the reality of the world to go out and steal. It's a physical impossibility in my mind the way it was an actual physical impossibility for Adam HaRishon. So that's lesson number two that we want to instill in our children. The notion of integrity, of honesty, of emes. The Ribbono Shel Olam is described in his 13 midos. Hashem, Hashem, Kal Racham, Chanan, Erech, Apayim. All of this has to do with various synonyms and versions, pretty much, not entirely, but pretty much of compassion, with one glaring exception, and that's emes. The Ribbono Shel Olam is emes, truth, honesty, integrity. And so that's lesson number two that we want to instill in our young children, and hopefully allow that to flower and blossom as we grow into adulthood. So it turns out that Sefer Vayikra maybe is not so far removed and makes a lot of sense why we'd want to teach our little Alephs to start their limud in life with this message. But I think there's one final message here that the Kli Yakar points out. The Kli Yakar says, Adam ki akriv mikem. What's the connection here again to Adam HaRishon? So listen carefully. The Kli Yakar says that kishiyya ki Adam HaRishon, when a person is like Adam HaRishon, how are you like Adam HaRishon? Shetihya hakrava mikem. Meaning the following. Adam HaRishon lived in the world. He was unique. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Shor shehikriv Adam HaRishon kerenachas hayalo. The shore that Adam HaRishon gave as a carbon was a unicorn. It had one horn. And therefore, why did it have one horn? Ki haya dome al ha'adam shaya keren echad. Explains the Kli Yakar, citing this Gemara, because the unicorn is unique in the world. Similarly, Adam HaRishon was unique in the world. Haya yechidi ba'olam. He was the only human being in the world. Which means, says the Kli Yakar, that whatever Adam HaRishon did in his avodas Hashem was not to impress anybody else. He didn't have a long Shemona Esrei, so people should say, what a firm guy he is. He didn't give lots of money to a shul or to yeshiva, so everybody should say, look what a Baal Tzedakah he is. He didn't engage in conspicuous religious consumption. There was nobody there to impress. He didn't do his Avodas Hashem in order to get a claim from anybody other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. And said even, I think more profoundly, anybody other than himself. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam puts a neshama inside the person. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the deepest way communicates to us by stilling our minds and our hearts and our souls and having a quiet that we can just hear our neshamas speak. Hearing Dvar Hashem. The only person we really have to be listening to is ourselves in the deepest place. Because that is the sound. That is the voice. It's a cold mamadaka. It's a small, still voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam whispering right through our neshamas into our minds, into our hearts. So this is what was amazing about Adam HaRishon. He was Yechidi Ba'olam, and therefore, what his avoda was, it was an avoda which was purely self-motivated. It had nothing to do with anybody else's expectations. Not the teacher, not the Rebbe, not the parents, not anybody. And that's the highest level of Avodas Hashem, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, not out of any external trigger, but through internal motivation. And what more important message to teach our children than that? And those are three lessons. These lessons of Emuna Pshuta, the notion of Emes, of integrity, the notion of serving Hashem out of personal motivation and listening to the sounds of our neshama, rather than through some type of external trigger and pressure. These are the elements that we want our children to know, and these are the ideas that we hope will carry them, and indeed remind ourselves of these three things, which are critical to a pure, a profound, and a meaningful Avodas Hashem. Good luck to all.